Welcome to The Word for Today, the broadcast ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be continuing with the Praise Psalm of David as we pick up in 1 Chronicles, chapter 16, verse 7. And now, here's Pastor Chuck Smith with today's message.
And on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord in the hand of Asaph, his brother. So David gave to Asaph this psalm when they inaugurated this time of worship. Now, this is a psalm that more or less defines for the priest their duties as they were there before the Ark of the Covenant. It is a psalm that is a part of three of the psalms in the book of Psalms. Psalm 105, parts of Psalm 106, and parts, I think, of Psalm 90 are in this psalm here. Basically, it is exhortation. It is telling us what we are to do. Now, unfortunately, so many times when we read this, we read words, not thoughts, or we don't think of it as commandments. And we just read through this without putting it into practice. But each of these things are to be put into practice. They were to be put into practice daily by the priest as they were there before the Ark of the Covenant. And as we as children of God in this dispensation stand before the Lord, these are things that we should put into daily practice in our lives. First of all, giving thanks unto Jehovah. Calling upon his name, and his name is Jehovah. The King James translators translate the name of God as Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And you see it there in your text in verse 8. Give thanks unto the Lord, all capitals. The all capitals indicate that it is the translation of the name of God. But God is not a name. God is a title. The problem is, in our English language, Lord is a title, not a name. And so that's developed confusion. In the New Testament, the Lord is a title when referring to Jesus, the Kurios. And that is a title. And his name is Jesus. In the New Testament, we think of his name as Lord. No, that's not his name. That's his title. Jesus is his name. In the Old Testament, God is not his name. That's his title. And his name is Jehovah or Yahweh, and we are not certain of the pronunciation. All we have are the consonants with no vowels, YHVH. And without vowels, you can't really pronounce just the consonants. And so we have guessed that the consonants are probably A and O and A. And so we have the Yehovah as a possible name for God, the pronunciation of the name for God. But we are uncertain that that is so. But God does have a name. There are many gods, you see. And all through history, men have worshipped many different gods. In verse 25, the latter part, he also is to be feared above all gods, or reverenced above all gods, for the gods of the people are idols. But, and then the name of our God, Jehovah, made the heavens. There's a vast difference between our God and their God. And in the Psalms, it often points out this difference. In the Psalms 115, why should the heathen now say, "Where is your God?" Our God is in the heavens and he rules over all. But their gods are silver and gold. They are carved out by man's hands. They have eyes, but they can't see. They have feet, but they can't walk. Ears they have, but they can't hear. Contrasting our God with their gods. Our God is alive. Our God has created the universe. Their gods are insensate. They can't walk. They can't see. They can't hear. They can't feel. They can't talk. And so there's a vast difference between the true and the living God, the creator of our universe. Now, you remember, the commandment was, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God or Jehovah thy God in vain. Now, taking the name of Jehovah in vain, people say they quite often use the name God in vain, but that isn't taking the name of God in vain. The name of our God is Jehovah. You're not to take the name of Jehovah, our God, in vain. And thus, the importance of us realizing that God is not a name, a title, and thus every man has a God, and it's sheer stupidity for a person to say, I don't believe in God. Because the person is really saying, I do not believe in Jehovah, the God who created the heavens and the earth, who has revealed himself to man in the Bible. Because though you may not believe in him, you have a God and you serve a God and you worship a God. And if I can talk to you for a little while, I can find out who your God is. And if all you want to talk about is skiing and all of the exciting things you've been doing lately for thrill and excitement, then I will understand quite readily that you actually are worshiping Molech, the God of pleasure. Easy to discover, because a man gets very animated and excited when he talks about his God. Though in our cultured, sophisticated world, we no longer give them names, they are nonetheless gods that people worship. And the fact that they don't have names allows the person to deceive himself more readily, saying, well, I'm an atheist, I don't believe in God. And he is quite deceived, because though he declares not to believe in God, in reality he is worshiping and serving, and maybe the God of his own intellect, which would have been the Baal of the Old Testament period. So, God the title, and the name of our God is Jehovah. And the name of our God is a Hebrew verb, to be, or to become, or a literal translation of his name is the becoming one. As God becomes to man, whatever man's particular need might be at that moment, for he is the all-sufficient one. And when Paul the apostle was going through his heavy trial, and three times he asked God to remove that thorn, God said, my grace is sufficient for you. He is the all-sufficient one. And thus, that all-sufficiency can cover any need that you might possibly have. And thus, the name Jehovah is used in compound form. Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Tzidkenu, which, interestingly enough, will be the name of Jesus when he comes back to reign as his King and Lord. We will then call him Jehovah Tzidkenu, for he is our righteousness. He is also Jehovah Shalom, for he is our peace, who has broken down every wall. But to us right now, he is our Savior, and thus he is Jehovah Shua, or Joshua, which in Greek is Jesus. So the name of God is incorporated in the name of Jesus, the name of our God. And thus, God has given to him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, Joshua, Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That Jesus Christ is actually the Kurios, which is in the Greek the translation of the Hebrew Jehovah. So give thanks unto Jehovah. Call upon his name, the name of Jehovah. Make known his deeds among the people. Here you have three things that the priests were to do in the very first verse of this psalm. They were to give thanks to Jehovah. They were to call upon the name of Jehovah. And they were to make known his deeds among the people. That is the recording part. So they were there to worship or to lead in praise, to give thanks, and to record. And thus the three duties are incorporated in the first verse of the commands. Next, they were to sing unto him. This singing was to go on continually, day and night. We recently have installed a sound system here where all day long we have beautiful spiritual music that is being played on the premises, on the speakers outside within the church. Come around and you just hear the beautiful music. And then they were commanded to sing psalms unto him. I love it that we are now again beginning to sing the psalms, that some of our musicians have set upon themselves to set these psalms to music. I really enjoy it. I love it to hear the psalms being sung. Talk ye of all of his wondrous works. Not only to sing about the Lord, but you're to talk about his wondrous works. And as we pointed out, they that love the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened unto them, and he kept a record. And they will be accounted as his jewels when he makes up his kingdom. The treasure that God has in his people. That was Paul's prayer, that the Ephesians might know the exceeding richness of his inheritance in the saints. Peter said, we are his peculiar treasure. Oh, if you only knew how much God treasured you. If you only knew the value that God places on you. We so often deprecate ourselves. Oh, I'm no good. Oh, I'm nothing. And God doesn't appreciate that. You're running down his property. And God treasures you highly. And so they are to talk of his wondrous works. And then they are to glory in his holy name. Now, the name Jehovah. They're to glory in that name. Of course, to us it is Jesus. We're to glory in the name of Jesus. It's just a name that brings joy, it brings hope, it brings peace, it brings comfort, it brings healing. You remember when Peter was being examined concerning the lame man that was healed and how it was done, he said, be it known unto you that in the name of Jesus, or by the name of Jesus, this man stands here before you whole. Name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. And so we're to give glory to his holy name. And let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. A sad heart is a poor witness. We who seek the Lord should be rejoicing in that we're his children, rejoicing in the Lord. Now, there's a big difference between rejoicing in situations and rejoicing in the Lord. Sometimes I'm weeping over the situations, though I'm rejoicing in the Lord. I can't always rejoice in situations. Sometimes situations make me extremely sad, but I rejoice in the Lord. Paul was in extremely miserable circumstances in the Roman jail, and yet from that prison in Rome, he wrote to the Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say unto you, rejoice. But the rejoicing is in the Lord, and that's the secret. Get your eyes off yourself, off your circumstances, onto the Lord, and you can rejoice. Get your eyes on yourself, and you probably cry. Get your eyes on Jesus. And it lifts the spirit, rejoicing. Seek the Lord. Another command is to seek the Lord. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, the scripture says. Call upon him while he is near. How many times we seek the advice, the counsel, the help of man rather than seeking the help of the Lord. We're so quick to turn to man for the answers, and we use God as a last resort. We should be seeking the Lord. Seek his strength and seek his face continually. And then they were to remember his marvelous works that he has done. That's part of the record again, is the remembering the marvelous works that God has done. So important that we have the record of what God has done. For God has basically revealed his plan, his purpose, his intent in that which he has already wrought. He has shown his desire to be with his people, to strengthen his people, to help his people, to bless his people. And as we see what God has done, he has revealed his character, his nature, and his desire for his children. They that seek him, they that seek his face continually. And thus, we are to remember those marvelous works. And he goes on to tell now, define that a bit, his wonders, his judgments of his mouth. And then he exhorts, O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is Jehovah our God. His judgments are in all the earth. You're to remember the judgments of his mouth. His judgments are in all the earth. Don't you realize that, you children of Jacob? And then he gives them the next exhortation, verse 15. Be mindful always of his covenant. Not the covenant that he made with Moses, but the covenant that he made with Abraham, the covenant of giving to Abraham this land in which they now were dwelling. He established it with his oath to Isaac. He has confirmed the same to Jacob for a law and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. So I don't care what the press may say today, nor the situation that is going on over in the land of Palestine, or who are the Palestinians, or who are the rightful inhabitants of the land. It belongs to Israel by a divine decree, a covenant that God made with them. Now, my heart goes out to the Palestinians and their plight. But unfortunately, for them, the land belongs to Israel. God made a covenant with Abraham. He repeated it to Isaac, and he established it and confirmed it to Jacob. The land belongs to their seed forever. And when the whole thing is over and all of the fuss and all of the UN and everything else is over, ultimately, the land will belong to Israel. When Jesus comes again, he's going to apportion out to the tribes that land. It belongs by a everlasting covenant unto Israel. For when you were but few, and you were even strangers in it, when they went from nation to nation and from one kingdom to another people, he would not allow any man to do them wrong, yea, he reproved kings for their sake. Talking about Abraham, you remember, went over to Abimelech, and Abimelech was reproved by God for Abraham's sake. He went down to Egypt, and the Egyptian Pharaoh was reproved by God. He was a stranger. He was going from place to place, kingdom to kingdom. Yet God had said to Abraham, as far as you can see from the top of Bethel, as far as you can see, Abraham, it's all yours. I'm giving it to you. And yet all Abraham ever possessed was a cave at Machpelah to bury his wife. And God said, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. David had tremendous respect for Saul because he had been anointed the king of Israel. And even though Saul had failed miserably, yet David wouldn't lay a hand on him. He wouldn't touch him. Because David respected the command of the Lord that said, "Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophet no harm."
We'll return with more of our study of 1 Chronicles in our next lesson, as we continue our in-depth look at the Praise Psalm of David. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD, and phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of 1 Chronicles. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, here's Pastor Chuck Smith. Today's closing comment.
May the Lord bless you and guide you as you go this week. May the Lord give you strength, and may you walk and live after the Spirit, and may you respond after the Spirit. In the temptation, may you not yield to the flesh and react after the flesh. May your life be pleasing unto God as our actions come into harmony with our declarations of what we believe. May we show it in the works that we do. In Jesus' name.
I'd like to talk to you about being ready as a Christian, ready to give an answer to anyone, anywhere, who might ask you about Jesus Christ. And the only way to be prepared is to know and to memorize the scriptures. For this very reason, I'm excited to present to you the long-awaited release of Pastor Chuck Smith's Through the Bible Commentary, C3000 edition. Get ready to study the Bible in a whole new way. Listen to Pastor Chuck as he teaches Hebrew and Greek word origins, biblical dates and history, archaeological information, church history, and of course, practical applications to apply to your life on a day-to-day basis. Get ready to be a great biblical scholar with the help of Pastor Chuck's Through the Bible Commentary. To order your copy, call The Word for Today at 800-272-9673. That's 800-272-WORD. Or visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.